and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. For the past several years, I have done a different theme during December about Christmas. And a few years ago, I spoke to several local pastors about people of the Nativity. We covered several characters that are in the Nativity story. Today's conversation is with Mark Morrow with Crosswalk Church. He and I had a wonderful discussion about the wise men. I hope you will take a moment to look back into the previous episodes about my conversations about Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth, and the shepherds. There's so much that we can learn from all of these different people in the Nativity, more than just the story itself, including the wise men. I hope you will definitely enjoy and learn and be encouraged at how much God can use anyone at any time, especially during this conversation with Mark Morrow about the wise men.
Hello, and I cannot tell you how excited I am today. We have a very special guest. We have Mark Morrow, and he is with Crosswalk Community Church. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mark. We are going to be talking about the wise men in the Nativity story. So just in case somebody does not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mark.
As you said, I'm the pastor of Crosswalk Church and honored to be here with you, Lisa. I love this series that you're doing. I'm excited to be a part of it and honored to be a part of it. My wife and I moved here to Williamsburg 20 years ago and started the church in our living room.
Oh, my.
Something kind of fun about ourselves. We had 10 biological children. And
I only had three. That's 10's a lot. Lots of blessings.
One fun fact about that, 5 of them are married and 1's engaged. So we actually have 16 children.
Okay.
And all 16 of our kids attend the same church. They all are serving in the same church. 9 have gone off to college and have come back and married and gotten plugged in and serving. And so it's really a fun time for us right now as we're enjoying all the grandkids around us.
Yes, that is a fun fact. That is truly amazing. And one of these days I will want to pick your brain on just how you do that, because I only have 3 and neither one, once they've graduated, they kind of move off.
And you got to ask my wife. She's a specialist.
Okay, I will have to ask her about that. Well, is there something fun that maybe wouldn't be in your normal bio about you?
Well, most people think that the fun part is those 10 kids. Crosswalk's a multi-site church. We've got several locations here on the peninsula. And so, every Sunday, my wife and I, we rotate from campus to campus and serving our people. And that's a joy. We also run Greenwood Christian School, Greenwood Christian Academy. And we also have an extension site at our church of Southeastern University. So we're quite busy.
Yes.
And spread out and having a good time.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you again for being here. And like I said, we are going to be talking about the wise man. I'm going to go ahead and kick us off, and I will read the passage from Matthew in chapter 2, because Luke doesn't talk much about the wise men at all. He doesn't include that in the story, but Matthew does in chapter 2. And it's verses 1 through 12, and I have the NIV version. And it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi," or the Message version says a band of scholars, says, "from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So that is the actual story in Scripture. I know it's a very familiar one, but for all the familiarity with that, there are some misconceptions with that. And I know that you have looked at some of those, and I'm going to let you dive right on in with that, Mark.
Oh, that'd be fun, Lisa. Well, there's 13 verses. That's all we have. And there's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of folk tales that have become traditions over the years. Mm-hmm. First of all, if you do a careful observation of that passage, they weren't kings.
Yeah. Nope.
There probably were not three of them.
Okay.
They probably weren't riding camels. And they certainly didn't show up at the manger scene when the shepherds showed up.
Oh, no. No, they didn't. I think I shared with you, there's a funny little meme, and you said I could toss this one out there. There is a meme that I frequently see at Christmas, and it said, of course, the Magi were men because they showed up late with gifts that really weren't very practical, that if it had been women, they would have showed up early or on time. They would have helped Mary deliver. They would have brought a casserole, and there'd be peace on earth. So
that's good. I hope your listening audience will remember that.
Yes.
So these images that we have of this nativity scene, they make cute pictures on fireplace mantles. But the reality is actually quite different, Lisa.
Yeah.
The original word is magi, and that's not a Greek word that Matthew wrote in. It's not an English word. It's actually a word of Persian descent.
Okay.
That Matthew picked up on. And that kind of gives us a little bit of an insight of where this delegation was from.
Mm-hmm.
Persia was present-day Iran and Iraq. It's where the Babylonian Empire was, and then the Medo-Persian Empire took over that. And so this word magi is where we get our word magic in English. And so the magi, they were men of an educated class that kind of combines astronomy with astrology as they observe the stars. And so there's a bit of the magi part, there's knowledge that they were getting that probably didn't come from books. It came from other ways. So it was a bit of a mystery, a mysteriousness about them. And so according to historical records, they probably rode horses across the Arabian Desert to get there, not camels. Camels were more for carrying supplies.
Okay.
My wife and I have been over to Israel. We've ridden camels, and it's really for a photo op. It's not comfortable. You wouldn't dare ride that 1,700 miles on a camel.
Oh, yeah.
Also, since the whole city, the passage that you read said the whole city was in an uproar on their arrival. The whole city was aware of their arrival. That suggests to us that it wasn't just three guys slipping in through the night. It was actually a huge delegation of people.
Yeah, it probably was with a caravan and all their support.
Yeah, well, that's the way they would travel back then.
Yeah.
It was for safety and security reasons. And so this large caravan comes to town. The three that we get is actually from the three gifts, but, you know, a delegation of 300 can bring three gifts.
Yeah.
And so we also don't know how old Jesus was when they arrived.
I've heard some theories that he could have been as old as two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matthew chapter 2, the Greek word there is pedu, which is translated toddler or young child.
Okay.
He didn't use the word moro, which is the word for baby. Okay. And so chances are Jesus was probably 1 or 2 years old. And he wasn't living in the stable at that time. They'd already moved to a house.
Yeah.
And so we also don't know what that star was that those stargazers saw.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what manuals that they would have consulted to even deduct that that particular star was connected to the birth of a king of the Jews in Israel, in Judea. And so we don't know those things. All we know is that there was this guiding star. And it was probably a lot closer, some light in the sky that was closer than stars that we would know, because it says it landed over where Jesus was.
Yeah. Well, it had to be a little bit unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably some miraculous thing, but we don't know. We don't know those things. We do know that there was something in the sky that was directing these magi, these mysterious men from the east, probably of Persian descent. And they presented Jesus these three unusual gifts. And we can talk about those in just a minute.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll toss in. I know we don't know for sure about the star. I did a little bit of digging into that. And there were a couple of theories that were the most popular ones that I found online. And one was just, you mentioned the Magi were probably, you know, with astronomy and astrology from, you know, the Babylonian Empire. And that was widely known. And there was a star that came through on around Jupiter, and Jupiter is connected with royalty. So that, you know, just in looking at the stars and noticing that there was a star that passed through with Jupiter, and the moon was past it in the constellation of Aries, they say on April 17th, 6 BC. I was like, wow, okay, I don't know how you know that, but that they could have seen that. The other theory was that it was a conjunction of Jupiter, Saturn, the moon, and the sun in the constellation of Aries. And so, and that was kind of all three of them coming together, and that would have been very unusual in kind of the way it moved. It could have guided them to a degree. But as you said, those are theories. They may or may not. And, you know, Lord knows that is what God could have used to do it. Or maybe it simply was a miracle. And that was one of the things on the website, too, is like they don't think it was a comet. That was usually a sign of bad things. But these were the most popular theories. But they also said it could have just been a straight up miracle that we can't explain.
Well, the divinely inspired Word of God doesn't give us very many details.
No.
There's only 13 verses. Mm-hmm. All those additional theories are just conjecture.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lisa, if God wanted us to know more about those that story, He would have told us in His revealed Word. And I find it interesting, a lot of people spend so much time chasing these rabbits of ideas that are never going to be solved. Mm-hmm. And they end up distracting themselves and missing what is so crucial in those 13 verses. Some things there that are there that God revealed to us that is powerful.
Yeah.
And I want to spend my time meditating on those things and going deeper on those things, not these other ideas. And so we do know that those gifts that they brought were unusual gifts that one would bring to a baby shower.
Yeah.
they didn't bring pajamas and blankets and soothers. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah. And gold has always been associated with royalty.
Yeah.
Frankincense has always been associated with worship, mm-hmm. The burning of incense and aroma in a place of worship. And myrrh has always been associated with death because it's an embalming agent. And so we don't know if those guys knew what they were doing or if it was just prophetic with God, but that gold was a foreshadowing of the King of Jesus, the kingness of Jesus. The frankincense was a foreshadowing of his priestly role. And the myrrh was foreshadowing of his sacrificial death, the sacrificial lamb that was slain. Those three gifts, the king, the priest, and the sacrificial lamb, all put together, you know, this 1 or 2 year old kid getting these things. Wow, the prophetic, the symbolism of those three gifts are
definitely
just pretty powerful.
Well, and I think that's why it says that Mary treasured all these
things in her heart.
And mm-hmm. she was the one that had the visit from the angel and all of that. So she probably was very well aware and very mature for her age, as has been discussed. Mary was probably a very young girl, but very mature for her age and very mature in her walk with God and her trust and her faith and her obedience. And what an obedient thing for these magi, too. I mean, there must have been something amazing in that sky for them to go, let's take a trip from Babylon to Judea. You know, that was a huge journey. I didn't calculate how many miles. I mean, you mentioned, but that was a long journey. It wasn't just let's hop in the car or hop in a jet or hop on a train. Like you said, they're riding horseback and walking with a big caravan. It took them So even if the star had come, you know, early, it would have taken them a long time to get there. And what obedience on their part, or it had to be more than curiosity,
right,
to drive them,
right,
to seek the star out and go, this is something amazing enough that we have to go check it out. We have to, you know, I half imagine them going to their colleagues or gathering this caravan together, and these people are going, you're doing what? Sorry, you're going where?
Yeah.
You know, how would they have explained, oh, we saw this thing in the sky and we looked through these, you know, Jewish scriptures, and there's probably a really big king that's been born. We have to go check him out. And they're probably going, why? What are you? It sounds so crazy,
yeah,
to me. You know, when you really
crazy.
Look at it, you go, we take it for granted. Like, with the familiarity of the story, we go, well, of course they saw the star and followed it and found Jesus. Otherwise, our nativity set wouldn't be right. But yeah, I mean, it had to be just an incredible leap on their part, because they weren't Jewish either.
No.
And that speaks volumes on that one, is that they weren't Jewish at all, but they still sought him out.
Yeah.
And that's another really good point,
yeah,
on how God can reach out. And I'd love for you to take that one away some.
Oh, let me expand on that one. All right. So we know these wise men came from afar. We mm-hmm. know that. And so we can deduct from that, Jesus's birth was not just important for a small Jewish enclave in Judea.
Yeah.
Jesus's birth was actually for the entire world. Gentiles included. And, you know, when you ask the question, why were these wise men included into this story? Well, why were any of the cast of the Nativity included in the story? God is in heaven. He's writing the script. He's choosing the actors of the play down the real life going on down on earth. He chose Mary. He chose the shepherds. He chose Simeon and Anna. He chose all the different people. But why the wise men? And so as we dig into that, look at this. The angels who appeared to the shepherds, they showed that God cared about the poor and lowly.
Yeah.
But the star that appeared to the Magi, that showed that God cares also for the rich and mighty.
Yeah.
There is a wide spectrum that God is flinging the doors wide open, saying, please come and find Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not just for lowly shepherds, but it's also for Magi from Gentiles' lands. There's a wide spectrum. And anybody listening here, it doesn't matter what economic standard you're from, whatever caste you might be in, doesn't matter what color you are or what gender you are, it doesn't matter. It's a wide spectrum that is welcome to come and search for Jesus.
Yeah.
The shepherds as well as the Magi, both ends of the spectrum. And so that's one beautiful thing about it. The other thing is, these wise men were vigilant. I mean, yeah, you talked about how they had to pack up their caravan and recruit people and convince people, hey, let's go 1,700 miles to Lord who knows where. And the fact that they showed up in Jerusalem asking questions lets me know that there was a lot of unknown variables.
Yeah.
They stepped out in faith without knowing all the answers.
Yeah. They just knew there was something amazing they needed.
They knew
to
there
check
was something
out.
And they had, yeah, to go. But I admire their faith step.
Yeah.
We don't have to know all the details before we give our life to something.
Absolutely.
There's some unknown things, but let's step out anyway and trust that God's going to pick up the rest. God mm-hmm. met them there in Jerusalem and pointed them to more specifically Bethlehem. But they were vigilant. They set out to find Jesus. It was a long trip. They had to gather supplies. They had to gather the appropriate gifts. They weren't cheap gifts. They were expensive. It wasn't easy. It was a very long trip. They sought Jesus earnestly.
Mm-hmm.
They sought him earnestly. And when they found him, they worshiped him and they rejoiced.
Yep.
And that is something. And I just want us to follow Jesus' example. Those that are listening here, I want you to know, wise people still seek Jesus.
Yeah.
It is wise to seek Jesus and to find him. He's not easily found. We got to keep looking. But that search isn't just about finding Jesus. What are you going to do once you do find Jesus?
Yeah.
It's about acknowledging him, honoring him, and worshiping him. That's the beautiful part about this story.
Yeah. Well, and I love in the Bible, it says, seek and you will find.
Oh, that's good.
And when you do,
expand
when
on
you
that.
Seek him, when you seek him, you will find him. I love how Joyce Meyer, well, I listened to a lot of her, but she talks about when we become a Christian, we don't have to have our minds removed. We're supposed to have our minds renewed.
Oh, that's good.
God is a God of order. He can handle our questions.
Yes.
He can handle our strong emotions. He can handle our doubts. We can take all of that to him, and he's not intimidated by it. My God is not a wimp. I mean, I've gone through seasons of my life where I have raged and I have questioned and I have doubted, and through it all, it's been like, it's okay.
Yep.
You're not shocking me. You're not scaring me. I'm not up here in heaven chewing my fingernails going, oh no, she doesn't like me right now, or she's wondering about. He's still there, whether we believe him or not. He's still there. And it does say, if we seek him, because when you do, when you seek it out, you look at the evidence, you look at the reports, there is enough evidence out there to say that he is there.
That's right.
And that he is who he says he is. And so it really is, when you do, you seek it out. But, you know, one of the things that struck me when you said you don't have to know everything before you step out is a phrase called eat the mystery.
Okay.
So when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and, you know, they're like, we're all hungry, and God sends them manna. Well, the word manna means, what is it?
What is it?
What is it? So there's like, oh, you know, they're like, what is this stuff? Well, we'll eat it anyway.
Yep.
And so, you know, eat the mystery.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes there are, we don't know, as I told you with this whole series, I don't really know how it's going to work. I'm just feeling led. We're going to step out and do this and see what happens.
Yeah.
So there are times when we don't, you know, we're not going to know everything. And it is, it's scary. There have been times where part of my raging is going, God, I would really like a detailed outline or a blueprint of everything. And he's like, yep, no, not going to do that. I'll give you just enough light or just enough to take the next step. And sometimes that is how he works. He may give us a big picture of where we're going, but we're not exactly sure which step it is. Or we may say, I don't even know where this is leading. I just feel called to do this. But I love how the wise men, just even though they didn't understand it all, they just knew there was something in the sky. They knew where they needed to go, and they did. They persisted and they went after that, and then they stopped and asked directions. Thankfully, and they got there to Bethlehem. So it's that seeking and stepping out. And so when you meant that, I remembered, eat the mystery.
Yeah. And God could have shared with them more. I mean, they showed that they had a penchant for being able to hear from God, because they got a dream from God at the end and chose to go another way home and avoid Herod.
Yeah.
God could have given them a dream at the beginning and laid it all out. But
there
was a sense of withholding certain details to see, are they going to step out in faith? I'll feed them the details they need to know when they get there.
Yeah.
So they got to Jerusalem. Well, God, the path ends here. Now what do we do?
Now what?
and you know, God can use anybody. He can use Herod to point him in the direction. So
Exactly. Well,
pretty cool mentioned, story.
Yeah, definitely. It talked about Bethlehem, and that was from Micah 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times.
Yeah.
And that was that verse where the little things, and that one, when I was thinking about that, that brought me to 1 Corinthians 1:27. And that is, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise.
Wow.
God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So Bethlehem was a tiny little town.
Little village, about 600 people.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a tiny, tiny little village. But as you mentioned, Jesus is for the small, the weak, you know, the lower, but he's also, you've got this great big caravan of scholars, magi from a foreign land, and all of that hoopla coming into town, and that, so he's for everyone.
It
doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're from a tiny little town in Williamsburg, we can still have a big impact.
Ooh, there you go.
So even if we're just here or little villages, I mean, there's so many people that are making a huge impact that have had smaller beginnings. It really is just that matter of stepping out and having the faith and the courage to step out in obedience and do what he's calling us to do. Mm. And it's just, yeah, we could be included in the nativity story.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this this journey that you're on, Lisa, and just exploring all of the cast members of the Nativity. And what an honor to be able to do a deep dive in the wise men. And yes. I learned some things from this exercise. So
wonderful.
Thank you for this opportunity to get to be a part of this.
Oh, absolutely. It has totally been my honor and my pleasure to get to do this and explore and all of these. And I just hope that somebody has been inspired and moved and encouraged to study it some more and think about all the lessons that we've learned.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart with Lisa Granger, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application to walk closer with God. This conversation was part of a Christmas series in 2021 where we talked about people of the Nativity. I pray these conversations bless you and help you celebrate the real reason for the season. Jesus. Let me know who your favorite person is in the Nativity story on social media, or you can email me at lisa@lisagranger.com. Merry Christmas.